Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Hello, Knife Junkie, and welcome to the midweek supplemental episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast. It's episode number 109, and I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for knife newbies and knife junkies to learn all about knives and knife collecting. Our midweek show where we dive into the weeds and talk knife life news, a little bit of stuff about Bob's state of the collection, which we're doing this week, hearing a little bit about some of his new knives. And we're also going to be talking about the YouTube channel. Bob is back in the saddle again with some of the video making, Bob. The knife reviewing.
Yeah, I've gotten, you know, I got last summer, I got into doing the collection selection videos on a, you know, I do one every other day or so. And I busted out about maybe 60 some or so, about 70 of my collection. And then I lost a little bit of steam with that. And but I'm picking back up because in the interim, you know, I've gotten some new things that definitely need to be shown off before any sort of review happens. And also, you know, I never finished what I already had at the time. So,
that's right.
You know, so I'm bringing them back. And I like them because they're the kind of video I like to watch. You know, if it's if I just want a quick take and to check out a knife and hear a little little chat about it and then be off. That's the kind of video this is. I have plenty of people that I follow that when I see a nice new 20-minute video from them, I'm excited and I tuck in. But if you don't have 20 minutes and you want to check out the new, say, DLT exclusive XM18 Warney, no choil, then you've got 3.5 minutes to check it out.
Yeah, 7 minutes. You could rewind it and watch it watch it again.
That's what I'm saying. And you could hear all the brilliance come out of my mouth, you know, twice.
What? There's brilliance coming out of your mouth?
You're not watching the videos, clearly.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm listening to the podcast, so we'll give you a chance for some of that brilliance coming up here on the Knife Junkie Podcast. Again, episode number 109, but talking about the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel. If you are not yet subscribed, you need to. Just go to thenifejunkie.com/YTSubscribe, thenifejunkie.com/YTSubscribe, and you'll be able to subscribe. Don't forget to click that little bell notification so you'll be notified anytime Bob drops a new video or when he goes live for Thursday Night Knives every Thursday at 10 p.m. So thenifejunkie.com's YouTube channel at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. So a lot of great videos already in the channel and more to come.
That's right. And every one of our podcasts goes up on YouTube too. And sometimes it's handy to listen to podcasts on YouTube. I do that at work sometimes. If I'm doing busy work that doesn't require any writing and I can listen to people talking, I'll put it on YouTube and just kind of minimize the screen because I can't just wear headphones and listen to my preferred podcast catcher on my phone at work.
Right.
It's just not a good look.
Right.
But if I need to, you know, if I want to listen to something and I'm doing busy work, YouTube is great. So we put all of these podcasts there too.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of motivational talks and those kind of things on YouTube. Just again, as you said, start it going, minimize the screen so I don't have to watch it. And a little trick I use, I always like to play it at 1.25 or 1.5 speed.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of speed it up a little bit. It doesn't distort the voices too much, but I can listen to more content in a quicker amount of time. So that's my little trick I do.
Yeah. I've gotten in the car with you before to go to lunch and your podcast comes on automatically. And it's not like one of those guys who's reading about a copy at the end of a commercial. And I'm like, how do you listen to this? Don't you want to savor their voice? He's like, I'm listening for information, man.
You know, it's so funny. I listened to, I forget who it was. Maybe even, I think it was Gary Vaynerchuk. I listened to, I've got his daily flash briefing. Mm-hmm. And the other day it came on right after I had listened to a podcast. I was like, who is that? Because I'm used to listening at 1.5 to even 2 times speed for some of them. And I'd gotten used to the cadence of his voice at that faster speed. And then when it came on normal, I was like, has he got a guest today? Who am I listening to? So, but
yeah. His voice sounds much deeper.
Yeah, I like listening to a lot of stuff on YouTube, as you said.
Yeah.
And you mentioned we put the podcast on there, so there's a great opportunity to multiple times during the week to catch some Knife Junkie content because this midweek show comes out every Wednesday evening. The interview show comes out Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and then we have Thursday Night Knives, Thursday night at 10 p.m., and so then the collection selection, knife review videos, all those kind of things, we try to, you know, publish on Mondays, Tuesdays, Friday, Saturday, that kind of thing, to kind of spread out the content so you're not overloaded every single day. A lot of great stuff on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel. All right, Bob, what do you say we get into Knife Life News?
Oh, let's do it.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
The first knife I wanted to talk about this week is named after a mythical monster in the Odyssey, probably my favorite mythical monster in the Odyssey, Scylla. Scylla is a six-headed beast. She lives in the crags above, in the Palisades between Sicily and the mainland, I believe it was. And you have a choice. You can either steer towards Scylla, who's got six heads with monstrous fangs in each one of those mouths and snatch people off your ships, or you can go the other way and go down Charybdis, which is a giant whirlpool. So that's where the term rock and a hard place comes from. In any case, this new knife from Steel Will is named after Scylla, the six-headed beast, and it has a really interesting opening, way of opening. It's just a thumb stud, right? Your standard sort of thumb stud opener. But the thumb stud is sort of, it's cantilevered out on the end of an extended tang. It almost looks like, when it's closed, like a friction folder. But it is not. It's a locking knife. It just has this, the thumb stud out front. And now you can use it like a normal thumb stud and slowly rotate it out, the blade out, or you can flick it. But you can also kind of front flip it, too, if you can imagine a protruding tang at the front of a closed blade near the pivot. You can just put your thumb on there and pop it out that way. Also, if you ask me, now they don't advertise it this way, but it looks like you could probably wave the Scylla out of your pocket using that tang. You know, just applying some pressure as it passes over the hem of your pocket, that tang part, you could pop that thing out and wave it out. And none of that would matter if it wasn't such a cool-looking knife. It's got, a 3.4-inch drop-point blade, and it comes to a very acute point. Apparently, it's quite thin and slicey, and then that really acute point, which I would no doubt drop the knife on, comes to an extreme tip. So, I mean, this looks like a nice change or tweak to the traditional opening setup of a thumb stud knife, but it's also got this, you know, beautiful profile and seems to be extremely useful. There's no flat on the blade, it's all belly, but it's very gradual, so you could basically use this in many different ways. Mm-hmm. It looks like a cool knife.
So do you like the looks of the knife as much as the story of the Scylla, or does the story just really make it that much better?
I have to say, Jim, when I saw the knife first and I was like, that's cool. It resonated with me. You know how I feel about Steel Will. I'm hot and cold with them. Some of their designs are just gorgeous to me. And some of them are just like, okay, well, all right. They got that's a knife. Out too. Yeah, right. Exactly. This is one of those ones that I looked at and was like, wow, I can't wait till that comes out. That just looks great. And then when I found out it was called Scylla, I was like, thank God they didn't name some normal kind of lame knife Scylla. That's what I thought. So.
Right. Or the J275.
Right. Right. Exactly. It's a good thing they didn't name this very cool knife that they named the Scylla the J275, because that would
be a waste.
Yeah. Tragic.
All right. Real Steel Will.
Yeah. So I always get those. Real Steel Will, man.
Right.
One company. They should just come together.
That's right. Hey, maybe we've got an idea in store for them there. All right, moving on, Knife Life News, another company that's really one of your favorites, Topps. Mm-hmm. And I love the headline, Two Insane New Knives from Topps.
Well, I wrote it that way because they both have a little bit of insanity. I'm going to start with a short sword, the Kumakage. Kumakage is designed by Seiho Waisa. Seiho is his, or Seijo, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's the title. Waisun Johnny Sai. He's a knife designer. Waisun Johnny Sai is a knife designer who's done a lot of work with Topps. He designed the Kuma that came out a couple of years ago. Looks kind of like a Gurkha Kukri, and was adopted into the G.I. Joe world. Waisun Johnny Sai is a big G.I. Joe fan, And he's also a master in some bladed martial arts and, you know, is an outdoorsman as well. And so you put all these things together and he comes up with some pretty great knives. So this short sword, the Kumakage, has a 15-inch blade, 15.5-inch blade. It's 1/4-inch thick. It's got an almost two-handed handle. And this thing is... It's ready for the wilderness. It's ready for the battlefield. It's ready for anything. This thing is insane.
I was going to say, sounds like it. 15-inch, sound like it'd be ready for anything.
Well, I mean, you know, Topps Knives has flirted with some pretty big knives, but this one crosses over. You have to call it a short sword at this point. Waisun Johnny Sai, who does a lot of Filipino martial arts, designed this thing to be as long as his favorite length of kali stick. I always use 27-inch kali sticks. He uses 24-inch. And that means you can get even closer and you can do some, well, that's just his preference anyway. So he made this thing that size. And then at the end of the blade, it's got a relatively straight blade until you get to the end. And then it swells out into this bulb and then comes to an acute point. Now that bulb adds a lot of heft to the end of the 15-inch blade, making it even choppier, if you will. And that sort of extreme curve down at the end, it's like a little belly on the end of a long, straight blade, just adds the power of a recurve like you would get from a kukri way at the very end. And that would work great in both bushcraft and battle, if you will. That sounds so corny. I'm sorry. But it's true. And then at the end of the handle, where the pommel is, in Filipino martial arts, that's called a puño. And that is used a lot as an impact weapon as well. Imagine you're very, very close to someone. Instead of swinging the stick, you're just going to take that butt end where, you know, where your pinky is and
knock him in the head.
Yeah, exactly. So Waisun Johnny Sai added a nice little sharp piece of metal to the end in case you need to do that. So this thing is kind of insane, and it's got the Topps build quality. And apparently to keep it from being an absolute boat anchor, Leo and Craig from Topps chimed in on the design and put in some fullers on the blade to reduce the weight and some additional lightning holes in the under the blade, you know, under the handle and everything. So it's now a manageable blade. But this thing is cool. You got to check it out. And there you can see a couple of videos on the Topps channel on YouTube of them going out into the bush and just like chopping down trees with this thing.
Well, I got to ask before we move on to the second insane knife from Topps. You said it's a 15-inch short sword, a short sword. So when do at what length does a knife become a short sword and then becomes a sword? I mean, is there a criteria or for length?
You know, actually, I'm not sure if anyone else has that criteria. I will say, so you said 15-inch. That's the blade that's 15-inch, and I would say that. For me, it's like 13 inches and over. You're into short sword area. There might be plenty of people who disagree with that.
Right.
But knives with blades over 13 inches really don't have much more of a use than chopping in fieldcraft stuff or, you know, reach for battle. You know, the longer the sword, the longer reach you have, the less in trouble you are, right, theoretically, I guess. So to me, I would say a 24-inch knife overall is a short sword.
Well, I mean, yeah. 24 inches. Honey, yeah. Let me pull my knife out. 24 inches. All right. All right. Well, speaking of other insane Topps knives, you wanted to talk about a cleaver karambit?
Yes.
That sounds insane right there. Those two words together.
Thank you. It is. It is the second insane knife from Topps that's just coming out now. It's called the Tidal Force. And let me just say, when I say insane, I'm not saying not totally cool, not totally useful. It's just something I never would have thought of. This Tidal Force certainly is chief among that, because it's a field cleaver that's got lots of nice organic curves to it as is. It looks kind of looks like a cartoon cleaver in a way. It's got a real deep swale in the back of the blade, and the cutting edge is nice and curved. But the interesting part is attached to this is a curved handle with a ring on the end, like a karambit. And to me, it's just it's cool and it's interesting, but I'm not exactly sure why.
Because you can.
Well, because you can. Why not? it's an almost 5-inch cleaver blade. So it's not a huge, you know, the first thing I thought of is if you have your pinky in there and you have a huge chopper, you can mess up your pinky if something goes wrong. But this is it's an almost 5-inch blade. It's their usual 1095. And, you know, I could see using that ring at the end for generating more inertia. Is that right? No. Generating more momentum in your chop. You've got a small, relatively small blade as is. So if you choke down, if you will, and put your fingers, one of your fingers through that ring, I could see using that ring to sort of hinge the relatively small blade on to get as much chopping power out as possible. But I just think it's a cool thing. And maybe that's what they were thinking too. Hey, why not a cleaver with a ring on the end, you know, a karambit cleaver. No one's done that before. And it's 11.8 ounces. It's got a kydex sheath. It's got burlap micarta scales, which are absolutely gorgeous. I love burlap micarta. And I'm really looking forward to seeing this. I've only seen still pictures, but I'm really looking forward to seeing this in hand, in someone's hand, doing work. I want to see, you know, what it's like scale-wise too, because I see it in the hand, in someone's hand. You don't know if someone's hand is small or large. So I don't know. Just to see it in action is what I want. But interesting, insane blade, the Title Force.
Well, and it's also interesting that coming up with new ideas, new things. As long as knives have been around and swords have been around, there's something new all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what else is kind of neat about this? I got to say, they give themselves they put their own design flourish at the end of it. Okay, so you know how Topps Knives has the dot, the long bar, and the dot, and I believe that's Morse code for something. I don't know. Maybe Topps, maybe SOS. I have no idea. But you see that on a lot of their knives, these the hole, and then the slot, and then the hole cut into the top of the blade. Well, they did that in this blade, but at the very end of it. So the hole acts as the hanging hole that you see on a traditional cleaver. The first hole, and then you get the slot, and then the other hole. So it's kind of a clever, clever nod to the traditional cleaver design, while being on this insane modern amalgamation.
Right. This insane amalgamation that Bob said that he desperately wants.
This thing is ridiculous. Where do I buy it?
Well, you mentioned Topps Knives, a couple of new ones. Want to remind you that on episode number 48, we had Craig Powell of Topps Knives on the Knife Junkie podcast. You can find that by going to thenifejunkie.com/48, thenifejunkie.com/48. And I know that was one of the interviews that you were really looking forward to having since you were such a big Topps fan.
Yeah, it was great talking to him because Craig is so integral to the company. That he knows everything that's happening in there. He has the inside scoop, and he also has a lot of influence in some of the designs in their knives. So, yeah, great to talk to him.
All right. Next up in Knife Life News, we're not going to talk about a knife. What?
I know. It's crazy.
This is an accessory, if you will.
It is, and it's an accessory whose time has well, I'm glad it's here. Let me put it this way.
Okay. All right.
It's a hoodie by a California-based clothing company called... What are they called? The Spindle Collective. And they have a new hoodie out called the Sigma 50. And it is optimized for the EDC person.
Oh, tell me more.
EDC-er. Well, it's a pretty stout hoodie that's got, you know, top materials and cuffs that won't, you know, get out of shape. And, you know, all of those things, we'll get those out of the way. It's a really nice hoodie and all of that. But being optimized for EDC use, it's got a number of pockets on the inside, which you usually don't get on a zip-up hoodie. I have a million of them, and I have no EDC pockets in any of them. So there are three EDC pockets on the inside to lighten the load of your jeans pockets, presumably. So you can get a knife, you can get your phone, you can get lighters and flashlights and those kind of things in these little pockets on the inside. And then the cord that goes through the hood to, you know, to cinch down your hoodie, if you need to do that,
is,
yeah, exactly. It's 550 paracord. And it's a nice length of it too. So you can draw that out and, you know, 550 paracord, you can gut and you can use the seven or however many strands that are inside. You can tie those all together and get a quite a length of pretty strong string out of it. So it's an Indiegogo project, another crowd-sourced, crowd-funded project. And I think it looks really cool. I looked at two of their other jackets that they've put out. One's called the Half Century Coat, and the other is a Forever Flannel Woolen Jacket, and they both look awesome. I'm a jacket guy. Like, I like clothes just fine, but I love jackets. And their stuff looks cool. So I highly recommend it.
The Jacket Junkie.
Having never worn... Yeah, that's my next podcast, The Jacket Junkie. I follow after my dad. There's like a special jacket for every like 5-degree spread of weather.
Mm, okay. And every occasion has a special jacket as well. That's right. And now you have hoodies that you can keep your everyday carry items in, as you said, to lighten the load down below.
I think it's cool. I think it's a great idea.
And yeah, absolutely.
And with the proper construction, now I have to say this, none of the hoodies I have, which are just regular sweatshirt material, would I want to like have a bunch of gear stowed inside of, because then it would be just like a swinging pendulum on the front. But this, the build of this hoodie seems to be really stout, and I think that will help carry the weight too. It's like that material is what's going to carry the weight as well. How stiff, how firm that material is. So great idea.
All right. Great idea, and great thanks go to Knife News for bringing us all these stories that Bob has a chance to talk about each week. Knife News always seems to be on the forefront of keeping us up to date about what's going on in the knife world.
That's right, and not only is it a great resource just to find out what's going on, but I have to say Ben Schwartz is a fantastic writer. He is a really good writer. So, I mean, you read three paragraphs about the new Steel Will knife, and you feel like you've just read a short story. You know, he's a very good writer, so check it out.
Follow the Knife Junkie on Instagram at theknifejunkie.com/Instagram.
All right, back on episode 109 of the Knife Junkie podcast, and our section now that's giving Bob a chance to talk about some of his new knives is what we call the State of the Collection. And not only are we going to talk about his new knives, but also promote the Ultimate Steel, give a chance to talk about that, but also talk about our knife auction that Bob is going to be doing. So first of all, we've talked about the collection selection videos already. Just want to remind folks again that Bob's YouTube channel is at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. And you can see videos about these new knives that are in his state of collection, including the new Hinderer XM18 Warney and the Triway Pivot. And that's something you wanted to talk a little bit about.
Yeah. Well, if you've been listening to the podcast at all in the last week, you'll know I can't stop talking about the new DLT exclusive, DLT Trading, one of my favorite online knife purveyors. They do a lot of exclusives, not just with Hinderer, but with Medford Knives and others. And their newest exclusive with Hinderer is the XM18 3.5-inch no choil. That's the real USP Warncliffe Triway knife. And so I couldn't resist. I love the Hinderer Warncliffe. I think it's the best looking Warncliffe out there. And I can't say it's the best performing because I haven't tried them all. But I absolutely love my XM24 Warney. So when this came out, I had to jump in because I've been wondering what a Hinderer knife is like without a choil. I'm not much of a choil guy, a finger choil guy. I like to have the blade, the sharp edge, come kind of all the way up to the handle. That's just how I like it, and that's what you get with the no choils models that DLT is coming out with. This isn't the first one. They have the Slicer model, I believe, in a no choil, and they might have another one, maybe the Spanto. But anyway, in having this for a week, you know, it came loaded with the bearing pivot, collars. But you know that on the Triway pivot, they also send you the traditional Nylatron, and then they also send you phosphor bronze washers. And I have yet to put the other two on which is what I thought I would do immediately when I got this thing. Try them all out, see how they all feel, and compare them. But having my first XM18 on bearings, I don't want to change it right now. It's amazing. The action is incredible. And the detent is close to too strong, especially with the shape of the XM18 flipper, which is kind of like a little a little blade you have to put your finger on to open up your big blade. And the detent was very, very stiff when I first got it. But over a week of obsessive flipping, sorry, I just did it, Jim.
That's perfectly fine. Flip away a couple of times.
With the obsessive flipping, it has broken in, and I can already feel that the knife itself is starting to break into, it is getting used to itself, if you will, starting to understand its own power. And it's coming
and
out.
And its handler.
and its handler. Like breaking a horse, I am bringing this hinderer into my...
You've broken it in.
I've broken it in. Actually, I have a very good friend who actually does break horses, or used to. So that's no mean feat, and I don't mean to compare breaking in a knife to breaking a horse. But over a week, this thing has now become so smooth that, you know, not only in how it rolls out, but in how it actually deploys, that I'm in love with it, and I don't think I'm going to change it to phosphor bronze or Nylotron anytime soon. I think I'm going to leave it like this and just kind of roll with it. I love it, and I'm going to stop talking about it in 3, 2, 1, and I'm going to talk about another new knife. I got the Kershaw Bare Knuckle. This is a knife that, you know, it's been out for quite a while. I'm late to this party, as usual. But I saw it for a very, very reasonable price by Bella Blades on Blade Forums. Great guy to do business with. And I got a great price for it. It's just a standard 14C28N blade. That's the standard that they have. But it's got a black wash finish on the blade. And it's got a dark green anodization on the aluminum handle. And, you know, this thing was made quite a splash when it came out a year and a half ago. It's USA made, $60 USA made Kershaw with excellent materials and without the SpeedSafe assisted system, but indeed with with ball bearings on the pivot. So it is a really, really smooth USA made under $100 Kershaw, not ZT, but Kershaw. That people have been clamoring for, or people were clamoring for a year and a half ago before they came out with it.
Right.
Again, late to the party. But I'm glad I picked this thing up because it is a really, really excellent knife. And it replaces, in my heart and in my collection, the Knockout that I gave away to a good friend.
Mm.
So I'm going to keep this this is going to be a permanent collection knife because it's USA made. And I think that's kind of... Even though I'm buying other Chinese knives and checking them out, this knife, this Knockout, or I mean this Bare Knuckle, comes with the purchase also of a Civivi and a CJRB. I'm trying to compare knives all in that same realm, and this is the American representative of it. And I think it's an excellent, excellent choice. And if there are people out there who are interested in ZTs, but maybe don't want to spend the money on a ZT, you must check out this Bare Knuckle because it has all the beautiful design of a ZT. You know, it looks very much like the 777, but it's also got incredible build quality and great materials.
Mm.
So if you want a ZT, don't feel like spending the ZT money, check out the Kershaw Bare Knuckle. I know I'm not the first person to say this, but now you're hearing it from me.
Right.
So it's just more nagging from the internet to tell you to get this Kershaw Bare Knuckle.
So what took you so long to get it? Were there other knives that you were in pursuit of and that one was on your list and finally got around to it?
Well, sort of. I just saw it. It was you're waiting in line and you see that bag of M&Ms and you just snatch it. It was gotcha. One of those kind of purchases. But the reason I didn't buy it when it first came out is because being realistic about it, I know it's not going to be one of my main, it's not going to be an EDC. I'm not going to carry it with me all the time. Except for the fact that it is thinner than I expected. So I probably will draft it into an in-the-waistband sort of roll because it's thin like that. But I didn't get it originally because I knew I would probably pick up a ZT out of my collection before I would carry this one.
Unless you pick up one of the new EDC hoodies, then you can start carrying it every day in your jacket.
I think that's a moral imperative.
And more knives, because that means more pockets.
That's right.
It goes around. It keeps coming. More knives. I got to.
And then I know they weren't thinking of this, but you could take your jacket off, zip it up, and then swing it around. It could be a makeshift morning star if need be.
Only from the mind of the knife junkie, folks. Well, speaking about your opportunity to get more new knives, we want to talk about two opportunities to do so. Knife Rights Ultimate Steel, a huge fundraising opportunity for Knife Rights, but also with donations come entries into your opportunity to receive knives and other products. So, Bob, definitely want to give some promotion to Knife Rights and their Ultimate Steel promotion ongoing now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, last year, I've known about Knife Rights since their inception. Anyone in the knife thing knows about them. But it was only last year, I'm ashamed to say, it was only last year's Ultimate Steel Ultimate Steel fundraiser that I ever donated to them. And I had just had, we had just had Doug Ritter on the show a couple of times. And I felt like, well, it was a sense of guilt, I got to say, that urged me into it. And then once I gave money to the Ultimate Steel and to Knife Rights, it was like, why hadn't I done that before? Come on. If anyone's going to get, you know, if you're going to donate money to a cause that has an immediate effect on your own personal, you know, what I'm saying is you can give money to this and it will help you down the road because they are helping to get rid of these ridiculous knife laws. I'm not saying that it's like helping children eat in Africa, but it is helping people here in this country carry things that they need, knives that they need to do work, that they need to defend themselves, that they need because they like them, whatever the reason. It's no one's business what the reason. We should be able to carry these knives, and Doug Ritter is our main proponent out there making sure that this happens. So there you go. Please donate to the Ultimate Steel. Now, if you go to the website, you'll see that at various tiers of pledges, you know, you can give $50, you can give $100, you can give $10, whatever it is. At each level, you have a chance to win a knife. And of course, the more money you give, the more fancy the knife. A lot of knife makers and knife companies donate knives to Knife Rights to auction, you know, to give away during this fundraiser. So. Right. You do have a chance to win some pretty sweet knives. And then people, regular citizens out there, can also donate a knife at a certain tier level. I saw that Epic Snuggle Bunny donated a SOG Terminus under his name. And so if you give a certain amount of money, I can't remember what it is, maybe $100, you have a chance to win a SOG Terminus. So it's a pretty cool contest, but really it is an excellent cause.
KnifeRights.org. You can find all the information there, or just use your favorite search engine and enter in Ultimate Steel 2020, and you'll be taken to all that great information. And speaking of your opportunity to get some new knives or win some new knives, the Knife Junkie has a auction as well coming up to also benefit Knife Rights.
Yeah, that's right. It was during our town hall. We had two of our guests make on-air donations to the channel, and we sort of stipulated right there and then that we would auction these off and donate the proceeds to the Ultimate Steel and to Knife Rights. And so we have two lots that we're going to auction off, and we're going to do it next. We're going to do it on Thursday, May 14th. It's going to run between 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we'll announce the winner. The winners of the two lots on Thursday Night Knives that night. And so we have the Bob Terzuola lot. Bob Terzuola was one of the guests on our town hall. And he sent me a new copy of his classic book, The Tactical Folding Knife. This is a book that actually, John Gonzalez, who we had on the Sunday show this week, mentioned he learned how to make folding knives by looking at that book. So right. We have the Bob Terzuola book, the new edition. We have a great, beautifully milled out Terzuola cap lifter in the sort of Aztec dragon design that is his logo. And then we have the third part of this Terzuola auction lot, the mass drop and Terzuola designed, Terzuola designed Wee Knife produced mass drop distributed compact tactical folder. Now they are called drop, as you know, but this was when they were mass drop, so that's what you will see on the box. The compact tactical folder is a knife designed by Bob Terzuola that shares a lot of design cues with the ATCF and also the the Fox Knives Terzuola folder. It's a really, really beautiful thing. I must admit, I've taken it out of its little pouch a few times because I figured I'm going to have to make a video of it, you know, to tempt people to spend money.
Yeah.
And man, this is a hard one to let go.
You can bid.
I can bid. That's right. But that would, how would that look if I won both auction lots? That would look bad. We have.
Well, as long as we have the high price that you paid for them, I'm sure it would be fine. Well,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Then we got another donation from Stu, our good friend at Stone and Steel up in New England, a knife distributor up there. And he donated an Emerson CQC7. Emerson Super CQC7. That's not easy to say.
Just taking your breath away talking about it, isn't
that's
it?
Right. It's all black. It's got the black coated blade and the black handle. It's an immense knife. It's got a 5 1/8 inch handle. It's got a 3 3/4 inch chisel ground tanto blade. It's from 2013. It does not have a box, but it has not used. It has not been used. You can tell from looking at the pocket clip, and it looks like it's been around probably to a number of gun and knife shows and opened up and put on a table, maybe pawed over a couple of times. But the G10 is pristine. You can tell when people have handled G10 for a while, especially a new Emerson, because you can see, it's kind of gross, but you can see dusty skin residue in the aggressive pockets of that G10. You see none of that here. None of that. How's that for a sales pitch? This thing is a beautiful, beautiful knife. And if it doesn't go for a decent price, I might have to jump in on it. There you go.
So the two lots, and this is going to be on Instagram, and it's going to be Thursday, May 14th. Bidding starts at 10 a.m., ends at 10 p.m. How does this work on Instagram, this auction?
Instagram only. It works like this. We're going to have $10 increments. The starting bid, I have not determined the starting bid for either lot, but they're going to be $10 increments. And each new bid is a new comment. You have to put your new bid in a new comment because the new comment timestamps it.
Oh, okay.
And so at 10 p.m., right when we're starting, maybe I should do it at 9:59 p.m.
I've already said it now.
Right at the start.
You'll have to get the guest co-host to talk a while on Thursday Night Knives so you can check your Instagram.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know if I planned this right. But yeah, at 10 p.m. Thursday night, it will be the last comments, the last time stamped comments with bids that will be the winners.
So anything after 10 p.m., if you comment and bid, you're out. It's got to be before 10 p.m., but the last one commenting with the bid before 10 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So it should be fun, and it'll
sounds exciting. Yeah.
It'll be a fun afternoon, kind of keeping my eye on Instagram, seeing what's what. But that's it's a little over a week away, so I'm going to build up a head of steam on it beforehand.
Okay. We'll look forward to seeing that on Bob's Instagram. That's Thursday, May 14th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Your chance to bid on a couple of knife lots there, if you will. And if you are not yet on the Knife Junkies Instagram, that's thenifejunkie.com/Instagram, thenifejunkie.com/Instagram, and we'll take you right to his feed. And if you're not following along with the Knife Junkie, you'll definitely want to do that, especially follow along on Thursday, May 14th, starting at 10 a.m. Get your bids in early and often to win your right. chance to win some of these knives. And again, all the proceeds going to Knife Rights. All right, Bob. We are running a little bit over our kind of traditional normal length of show, but a lot of stuff to talk about. Final thoughts to kind of close out episode number 109 of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
I don't really have much to say, Jim. I think I've said it all today. Yeah, it's true. I could say something like sharpen your knives or don't take Dahl for an answer, but I'm just going to say enjoy the week, man. Enjoy the week.
Yeah, get your money saved up and get ready to bid for those knives on Thursday, May 14th.
That's right. That's right.
And be sure to join us tomorrow night for another episode of Thursday Night Knives. If you're listening to the podcast when it comes out, of course, on Wednesday, May 6th, I'm referring to the Thursday, May 7th, Thursday night episode of Thursday Night Knives at 10 p.m. on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel.
Okay, so maybe I do have one last thing to say. On last week's Thursday Night Knives, we had our good friend and frequent contributor, Spirited Whiskey, come on, video and audio, and do the knife fight with me, the debate at the end of the show. And it was great to meet him, and he got a chance to show off some of his beautiful knives, man. His collection is insane. He showed some of that stuff off. I got a chance to meet him face-to-face after so many comments during the live show in past weeks, and it was great to meet him. I really, really encourage everyone to do the same. You know, when if you're tuning into Thursday Night Knives and you want to just say hi or show something or whatever, there's no pressure on you. You dip in, you dip out. If you want to stay for longer, we talk longer. If you just have a knife you want to show and then say hi and go, whatever. It was really, really great to meet Spirited Whiskey. Absolutely. And I'd like to do that with others.
Well, two things. He absolutely trounced you in the knife debate.
He did.
Yeah, so he was really great. Love to have him back on again. But as you said, anybody can join in on Thursday Night Knives. If you've got a webcam for your camera, or if you have a tablet that has the, you know, the camera, or just your smartphone, that's all you need is your smartphone. We have a link for you. Just click on that. You can come on audio only or video and audio. It's a video show, so we'd love to be able to see you and see the knives you're showing off. But it's as easy as that. Tablet, laptop, computer with a webcam, or even a smartphone. Join us on Thursday Night Knives. So that's, again, Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. So for Bob, the Knife Junkie DeMarco, I'm Jim, the Knife Newbie Person, thanking you so much for listening to this midweek supplemental episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on thenifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@thenifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.